Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 95, the Sports Hub.
And another wild, furious Celtics comeback will fall short. Celtics cut it from 27 to 7 with a minute to go in Brooklyn, but the Nets will hang on and win it. Final, Brooklyn 109, Boston 102. The Celtics dominate the homestand and then get swept on the road trip. And here we are through 43 games, still with many more questions than answers.
Celtics lose again last night, and this one was scary. This one was scary. Brad Stevens called a timeout 29 seconds into the game. I was watching this. It was one trip up the floor, Terry Rozier turnover. One trip back down to the defensive end, Terry Rozier doesn't get out on the three-point line. Timeout. That was it. I saw that. I'm like, oh, boy. Oof. Here we go.
29 seconds.
That is a sign of a coach that looks at a team that says, you are a mess.
Yep. What he's saying is, I hate you. I'm not kidding.
Follow up on that statement.
Okay. No, that's what it is. 2 weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago, Minnesota came in here and Tom Thibodeau called a timeout 1 minute into the game. We came on the air the next day. And you know what I said? He hates his team. He hates them. So now this guy did it 31 seconds faster.
29 seconds into the game.
So he hates his team right now. Hates it. And by the way, you know what happened to Thibodeau a week later?
Fired.
See you later. Fired. Out. He was done.
That is a sign. 29 seconds. And then in the third quarter, and so the Celts don't get blown out. It's a one-point game at half. Then they go down by like 27 in the third. And then I thought Stevens didn't call enough timeouts. That he just sort of let him, you know, just sort of let it happen,
let
right?
Him drown.
Like, yeah, he let him drown. He let him drown in the third. I'm like, oh my God, this looks unbelievable. Holy crap, what's going on? Like, it goes from bad to worse. This is unbelievable what's happening to the Celtics. Unbelievable. I'm sorry. And now 43 games in, aren't you past the point where it's just growing pains?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, now it's like,
well past.
So you've now gone through this cycle where you've had like team meetings, you've rebounded, then you've had talks and you've rebounded and you've like, they've gone through the team meeting, come to Jesus, heart to heart, sort of let's reset the thing. They've done that like two or three times now. And you're still three straight on the road, Miami? And not a good team among them.
Right, exactly right. Miami, Orlando, Brooklyn.
One suck bag result after the next.
Coming off that Indiana win where they had won four in a row and played their best game of the
year.
This
0-3 stretch, it's a combined record of 62 and 67 with the Heat, Magic, and Brooklyn.
Oh, my God. They have real issues. Real issues.
They've already lost as many games on the road as they did all last year.
Okay, here's the biggest. I think the locker room. Well, first of all, there's this. I think Kyrie Irving was suspended last night.
So do I.
Because he, and this goes back to Saturday in Orlando. And this is just a guess. No one said this to me, and I'm not, you know, like, I'm just, like, I feel like this may be a, let's call this a de facto suspension. Or it's either really like, no, Kyrie, you're sitting because of what you did Saturday night. Or it's, you know, Kyrie, why don't you just take a seat and cool off? And we'll call it a thigh. And, you know, it's to me, it's, on Saturday night, if you watched, they go down late to Orlando, 7-9 points, whatever. They claw back to a 2 points down with 2.9 seconds left. Timeout. They get the ball in the front court. Okay? So they're down two, 2.9 seconds left in Orlando. They come back from commercial on NBC Sports Boston, and they show Kyrie Irving yelling at Brad Stevens. Okay? They're getting up at the end of the timeout, and Stevens had called the play, and Kyrie's gesturing demonstrably at Brad Stevens, sort of yelling at Stevens about the play. Or something. I think in hindsight, it's pretty clear it was about the play. Then they run the play. Gordon Hayward's inbounding. He gives it to Tatum coming around. He shoots a contested baseline two-pointer that clangs off the rim. And then they show Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving is waving his arms and screaming at someone. And I remember watching it live saying, why are you bitching about the ref? The ref has nothing to do with the call. Because I was sure he was doing right. that to the ref. Oh, no. He was doing that to Gordon Hayward. He was screaming at Gordon Hayward on the floor for giving to Tatum as opposed to another option on the play, which was to Al Horford and then to Kyrie Irving. Then Kyrie Irving goes to the locker room, sits in front of his chair for, I don't know, minutes and minutes and minutes while everyone else showers and dresses and leaves. Kyrie's still sitting there in the chair. Then he gets up and basically goes on about a six-minute tirade about what's wrong with the Celtics and pointing a finger at the young players on the team. And really, more clearly than ever, telling you that there is this divide. There's this divide between the older guys in that room and the younger guys in that room, because he points fingers squarely at the young guys. And then all of a sudden he's has a thigh bruise. How could that be legit? Because they even asked him, Billy, play the cut about playing in New York. At one point in his six-minute diatribe, he said this.
That even when I'm thinking about the future, I got to think about how do we get there, but what steps do we need to hit? And that's a goal first, is just getting the seed. Like, we can't be comfortable being in fifth. I'm not comfortable in it, so.
That's not it. There's the one about going to New York where he talks about, you haven't? Okay, keep going then.
Now I go back and really rework things and try to think about how do I attack the next day. But the frustration's still inside of me. You know what I mean? I'm a competitor. You know, last play happened, let it go, and we move on. So we got one more game as a road trip. You know, it's always good to go home for me, and I'm always good to see my family. I know guys will enjoy New York as well. It'd just be good to just to play in that type of environment, you know. But Orlando deserved this win. They earned it.
Okay, so that's enough. You know, he's after the game, he said, it's always good to go home in that environment. I see family and friends. I just want to play in that environment. And then all of a sudden, he's on the bench.
Mysterious thigh bruise from this game on Saturday.
With a thigh bruise?
Struck me, too, again, when I heard that cut this morning, because I was bouncing around the internet, too, and I saw it. I went, whoa, hold on now. Like, so I wonder about it, too. I wonder if they said, you know what, put a sock in it, sit down.
So I wonder if they sat him and called it a thigh bruise. And then last night, Jaylen Brown, I won't play the sound. Its sound quality isn't very good. But Jaylen Brown, so Kyrie doesn't play last night, but apparently he addresses the team after the game. Okay? And then Jaylen Brown in the post game is asked about the Kyrie comments, and Bedard just showed it to me. Jaylen Brown basically rolls his eyes when asked about what Kyrie said and what the message was in the locker room. And he basically went like, basically rolled his eyes. And in his answer said, we're all in this together. It's not about blaming young guys, blaming old guys. He basically calls out the finger pointing.
I can read it right to you if you want.
Go.
Right in front of me. We've got to be more accountable as a group. It's not one guy's fault. It's not young guys, old guys' fault. It's everybody. We all have to be accountable to turn this thing around. We all have to have each other's backs.
He's calling out Kyrie.
We can't make comments. We can't point fingers. Then he goes on.
He's calling out Kyrie.
They all hate each other.
Because Kyrie the night before, here, just play the thing about it. Kyrie's asked about the biggest problem on the team.
Can I give you one more line?
Yeah, go ahead.
It starts from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but the top to the bottom.
So this is what's going on. The old guys are blaming the young guys, and the young guys are saying, F you. We went to the conference finals last year. This is something Murray has been talking about for over a week. So I think Murray and Gasper experience have been on this for a while. But now it's out. Now it's in the open. You know, Kyrie, the experience cut there, Billy.
Kyrie, you have experience winning a championship. What is missing in this team in order to get there?
Experience.
Or you put your finger on with, I guess, the ups and downs.
Experience.
So just stop. He's not talking about himself. He's 8 years in the league. He's not about Al. He's 10 years in the league. He's not talking. He's talking about the kids' experience, because half the roster has experience. He's not talking about Marcus Morris. He's talking about the kids and experience. Continue.
The best thing I can say is experience. We're lacking it, and because of that, we have a lot of learning to do. So we have a lot of ground to make up, and in that aspect, and you know, it gets tough. And when it gets hard, you got to think. We got to do the right things. You can't gamble and think that it's going to be the winning play. You got to be able to play through the full 48 minutes no matter what's going on, and hold your head high when you make mistakes, and when your job is called upon, you got to do it to the best of your ability. You got to come in and make an impact for the minutes that you're playing out there. You got to appreciate being out there and just competing. And it doesn't matter who you're going against. It matters the type of preparation you have, what you're going out and trying to accomplish. What's the big picture? What are we doing here? These are a lot of things that I don't think that some of my teammates have faced of just every single day. It's not easy to be great.
That's not something some of my teammates have faced.
No, there's no question. And again, that thing, you can't gamble and win the game. I think he's talking about Hayward making the pass to Tatum.
So Hayward has experience, though, but that's that play, right? He threw that in there. But he's just talking directly to those kids.
No question.
And he's calling out the kids. And it's like, you know what the argument is back and forth, the thing that Murray and Gasper have been saying, that the young guys look at it and say,
where were you? You went and got a nose job during Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Exactly. You were worried about your movie junket, dude. While we were going to the Eastern Conference Finals, how come when you weren't around, why are you telling me what to do? When I was here, we went to the East Finals and we were 10 minutes away from the NBA championship. And you know what? That is what the young kids say back to him. Kyrie has the answer to that. Kyrie's already talked back to him about that. Here's Kyrie's answer to that.
But we had nothing to lose last year. We had nothing to lose. Everybody could play free. Everybody could do whatever they wanted. Nobody had any expectations. We were supposed to be at a certain point. We surpassed that. Young guys were supposed to be at a certain point. They surpassed that. We come into this season expectations, and it's real. Everyone, from the coaching staff to the players, it's very much real every single day. So that's new. It's tough. It's hard.
So you know what Kyrie's saying? Yeah, you went to these finals. It was easy because no one was expecting you to do it. Yeah, you're free and easy. Now it's real. Now teams are looking out for you. They're preparing for you. You're supposed to win. It's harder that way. He's talking right to the young kids.
He went on to say, too, in that interview about how when he was in Cleveland, it was a veteran team. The window was small. They all were gearing for a championship. This group has a long window, so they think they're going to do it for 14 years.
They hate each other.
Oh, my God, do
it's
they
simple
ever.
As simple as that. It really is. And this thing last night. For him not to play after calling out his teammates, and he literally says after that loss in Orlando and that long diatribe, the quote, you got to be able to play the full 48 minutes no matter what's going on. So either he's proving to be a terrible leader and it's just like said, you know what, the hell with these guys, I don't want to play, or he got suspended. It's one or the other.
Such a good point.
It wasn't his choice not to play. I'm convinced of that.
It's about playing the full 48 minutes. Except, I'm going to sit this one out. I have a little thigh bruise.
So what am I supposed to think?
Right.
It's one or the other. Either he just said, the hell with it, and a bad leader, and those guys don't take him seriously, so they're all, bickering, which is happening anyway, or it's a suspension. That's what it is.
He is a bad leader.
Getting worse by the night, though. No question. Since Indiana, this is unbelievable.
Last night was a low point, if you ask me. 27, down 27 to Brooklyn. You give up 44 points in the third quarter.
And they only came back because of, again, Wandemaker?
Wandemaker. Play him. Bench Terry Rozier forever. Give me Brad Wandemaker.
Wandemaker and the Ubicelli kid. So that's who was in place of Rozier and Marcus Morris, and they came back. And that's why Brad Stevens, I know you...
It still bothered me.
You didn't like Brad Stevens praising the effort at the end?
The G. Willikers guys, I like the effort at the end, guys.
That was taking a shot at the other guys. I think by praising the Wandemakers and the... And again, how do you pronounce the name?
Wandemaker.
The Wandemakers and the Ubicellis of the world... He's taking aim at Terry Rozier.
Yeah, and you know what, though? Stevens is part of the problem, too. He's part of the problem, too. So, I look at it and say, you know what? For all of Kyrie's gum flapping, and there's a lot of it, because I listen to him talk and go, good God, LeBron, totally turned you into him. You've turned into LeBron. And if you want to pattern yourself after a leader, here's a tip. Don't pattern yourself after the guy you hate. Pattern yourself after Kevin Garnett. Okay, that's what I would say, number one. But second, in the NBA... Drawing up the play at the end of the game, Brad, you have a superstar now. Give him the ball.
Is Jason Tatum taking the last shot that bad of an option?
No, but you know what? That's not how that league really works. So this is how I process it. If Doc Rivers were coaching that team, who'd have gotten the ball?
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so, look, but to me, and I said this to you last night, Kyrie might be right. He may have. He probably should have been called for that last shot.
He scored 15 of their final 19 in that game.
He should have taken the last shot. The way it's all handled and gone down, it's just all their problems have been exposed.
Absolutely.
And boy, I'm stunned. I'm stunned. Because I'm someone who believes the NBA is just about the talent.
Of course it is.
It doesn't matter about coaching, chemistry, character, it really doesn't. Whoever's the best players win, and that wins. That's just the historically, that's the way that league is. Best players win. And everything else, all those other intangibles that are so great to dissect with other sports, really don't matter in that league. The talent comes out at the end, and that's the deal. And it's not happening. It's not happening. They're a five seed. They've been stuck in the five spot for like 2 months.
They're closer to missing the playoffs than they are to the number one seed.
Okay, that obviously ain't going to happen. But if they're the five seed, it's over. If they're the four seed, it's over. If they're the three seed, it's over. They're not winning two straight rounds on the road. If you're the three seed, you got to go second round conference finals on the road. They're not doing it. It's about over. It's just about over.
If they lose tomorrow night, I think it is over.
I think they're five games behind the Pacers, something like that. Four or five games behind the Pacers for the three seed. But even getting the three seed, you've got to catch the Bucks and the two seed. They're four games behind the Pacers?
Four.
But even getting the three seed means you're on the road in the second round, you're on the road in the conference finals. They're not going to survive that.
No.
It's just about over. How did that happen?
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
So the things that you're doing, that you've done your whole entire career, being able to, you know, kind of coast by in certain situations, and you've gotten away with your youth and stuff like that. Being on a championship ball club, you can't get away with that.
More Kyrie calling out the young kids. Can't get away with your youth. Kyrie's teetering with this team. And I don't, look, I'm still holding him to his word. He stood up in front of a room full of season ticket holders, a stadium full of season ticket holders, said, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm re-signing. So I'm not playing that game. I'm just talking about this year and this unit and the buy-in. He's teetering. They go down to Miami. They lose. After the game, he has this solo shooting session where he just sort of bolts, goes off on his own, shoots on his own.
It's the equivalent of going down to your basement and hitting the punching bag. I'm pissed off. I got steam to blow off.
Great point. Like, you know, the green team media. Oh, look at his work.
Needs to work on his shot.
No.
Stop
no,
it.
No, he was pissed. That was about getting out of there.
He was pissed and he had to get out of there. Next game, screams at his coach and his teammates because he doesn't get the final shot, and then goes on a six-minute diatribe calling out the young players on the team. That's game two. Game three, after saying he looks forward to going to playing in New York, being in New York, seeing his family, and playing in that environment, he sits with a thigh bruise. What a trip for Kyrie. Teetering. That situation's teetering. And I'm telling you, they are just about done because you don't win two straight road. Unless you're LeBron in the East, you don't win two straight series on the road. Maybe get away with one. You don't win two.
If they lose to Toronto tomorrow night, they're eight back.
So, to me, catching Toronto might be...
I forgot about that at this point.
Yeah, really, to me, the goal should be Milwaukee in the two seed. Hope they falter and you can catch them. And then you only have to play one series on the road, which is Toronto, where you haven't run in like 14 tries. But either way, at least that's just one. If you're anything lower than the two, that's two series on the road. I'm sorry. I think it's too late to think that that team can overcome that.
Yeah, Milwaukee's not going to be any picnic either. They have the same number of losses the Raptors do.
So, wow. Wow. Again, how did this happen? Your reaction quickly. Jerry on Cape Cod. Go, Jerry.
Well, listen, don't you guys think this trend is moving down the line of leadership being the problem here, number one? And yes. I have to put that at Stevens. But listen to Kyrie's comments that you've replayed over and over. And like LeBron did at Cleveland, he's going after the coach now, and he's right. It's the coach's leadership that's lacking.
Okay, do you think Kyrie's going after the coach?
I would say in part, but not entirely, no. I mean, he hasn't, you know.
I mean, he mentioned him in one of his comments.
Yeah, not entirely, no, but I think he's agitated with the coach? I'd say yes.
Oh, he's screaming at him in Orlando.
Because on that play, he's saying, what am I here for? Give me the ball. I'm your best player. Let me make the shot. And on this one, I agree with him. So, look, it's all well and good to say, well, no, we dropped the play. And that's how you would do it if you had Butler's roster. That's how you would do it if you were coaching a college team against all odds and getting you to the final. In the NBA, and again, I say this as much for political reasons as strategic ones, Doc Rivers would give the ball to Paul Pierce and say, shoot it from the right elbow. Get to your sweet spot and make the shot. And then if he misses it, you know what everybody says? No sweat. That's our guy. Because it's established. That's what we are. They don't have that here. That's a problem.
Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom. Thomas. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You had on hold or something. I don't know. Joe and Dighton. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I got two quick things. Definitely the Kyrie thing. I'm glad you guys are spending time on this. I think your takes are pretty good, but, I mean, I agree with most of what he said. I waited around for the press conference. It took a long time. I don't know if you saw the report.
Absolutely.
He's, like, staring off into space.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, I don't disagree with really anything he said. I mean, how has he played to this point this year? He's looked phenomenal. Everybody else needs to step up. I mean, some other guys have played well. So I just don't disagree with Kyrie. My second thing, last week I had to call in because Murray's take on the Chargers-Pats game, I had to call him out for it. I thought the Chargers were going to be the Chargers, and I just wanted to give you a quick call. I had to give a little...
Okay, Joe, we'll get to that later. The thing about Kyrie being right is, to me, beside the point, he might be right. He's right. He should have taken the last shot. He's right that these young kids think they've accomplished something when they haven't. Like, he's right. He's right. He's right. And I don't know. Maybe he's even right to do it publicly. All I'm saying is the fact that he's doing it publicly is just telling us what the hell's going on there and how it's so deeply affected the team.
Oh, yeah. No. There's a dysfunction there now.
Folks, do you understand what this team was and what you thought they were? I mean, not just 60 wins, but... Yeah. Again, I want to dial back the commentary to the preseason and hold you accountable for that. If you're going to hold us accountable for last flipping week on a football game, I want to go back to the whole offseason, what you were saying about the Celtics team. No one can compete with them in the East. No one. I mean, I mentioned Toronto and the fact you never went up there. Oh, you know, idiot. You have no idea. They're not even close. You're seven games behind them. So it's like, so how do they go from... How does those personality things go from there to here? That is so dramatic, I can't even tell you.
I mean, not even locally. From a national standpoint, this team was projected to coast to the finals and have a competitive series against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, there's a leadership problem. The caller was right. There's a leadership issue there. And again, I go back to the comment Barkley made during the Miami game when he says, you know, who's the go-to guy? Where do they go to? Who is it?
Well, it should be Kyrie, right?
Yeah, it should be. But this is, again, this comes back to Stevens. No, you got to draw it up because it's Hickory High, and we got to go to the open guy. And even in Hickory High, they knew to give the ball to their best player and let him make the shot at the end of the game. In that league, that's how it works.
Dan and Cranston, quickly.
Hey, real quick. Okay, if it comes down to Kyrie leaving or staying after the year, it doesn't look like this is going to work, barring a miracle. If you're Danny Ainge, do you just say, I want to keep Kyrie. This is how you win in the league. Go get Anthony Davis. Go to New Orleans and say, take whoever you want.
Okay, well, that presumes that Anthony Davis would come here and that you could do that. Whole other thing. Let's leave the Anthony Davis thing to the side. Because his comment line said, blow it up. I think... Why don't they start with peeling off some of the things at the bottom of the roster that have gotten in the way? Like, who, Murray? Where should we start?
Oh, well, we need to get Terry Rozier off this team immediately.
Terry Rozier.
He's the easy. Yeah, he's the easy one. He's the first to go.
So last night, perfect spot for him, right? Both Kyrie and Marcus Smart are out. So it's just him at the point guard spot and the Wanamaker. So it's Terry Rozier's, his, you know, wildest dreams, just like the end of last year. He gets the shots. It's his team. He runs the show.
I'm a starter in this league.
First possession, turnover. Second possession, doesn't get out to a three. Brad Stevens, 29 seconds in, calls a timeout because he hates the way the team looks, and the way he probably hates the team right now.
Rozier in his last three games against the Heat, 1-for-8. Magic on Saturday night, 0-for-5.
Jesus.
Last night in Brooklyn, 3-for-12.
Minus 11, as many turnovers, at three turnovers, I think he had five assists.
But I've been told he's a starter in this league from the player himself. I'm a starter. Are you? Bench his ass for Brad Wanamaker until further notice.
I mean, really? Honestly, don't play either of them. I don't need to see Wanamaker either.
Well, but at least Wanamaker's going to try.
That's it. That's all I'm looking for right now. And again, I'll do it until I'm blue in the face, until the season's over, because I've done it on Saturdays in the Celtics show. I'll keep doing it here. I apologize. I'll slam the desk for you. I apologize to Celtics fans for talking that much smack about the Bridgies, because at least the Bridgies, while we knew what the ceiling was, they gave you max effort night to night, unlike this group of frauds.
What a deal.
And Brown now shoots back at Kyrie publicly? I mean, how does that relationship feel when, after the whole Marcus Morris thing, Kyrie's looking at Jaylen Brown like, what the hell are you doing?
So Kyrie calls out all the young kids on the team after Orlando. Then he gets mysteriously sat with a so-called thigh bruise. Brown comes out, is asked about, and then Kyrie decides to address the team. He addresses the team. He doesn't play or is suspended or something. And then, then they get their doors blown off by the freaking Nets. He addresses the team. Jaylen Brown's asked about it after the game, and he just about rolls his eyes. I mean, he gave a real, like, and goes on about, it's not the time to point fingers. It's not anyone's fault. It's not young guys. It's not old guys. And goes, you know, in so many words, right back at Kyrie.
It doesn't stop from a start from the bottom at the, to the top. It goes from the top to the bottom. I mean, so again, that comment right there, it goes top to bottom, not bottom to top. That's an indictment on the coach, the star player. I'd even throw Ainge on that list. Like, he's not shooting at the guys in the middle of the roster. He's shooting at the people who are in charge.
Okay, we're just giving you a quick Celtics minute. I may give you a Bruins minute just for the heck of it because it was a really good game.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And here we go. We got a bout. It's going to be Miller against Delorier. Center circle. They drop the gloves. Miller. Fighting right hand. It took a right hand. That miss from Delorier. Miller grabs a hold. Out in the neutral zone. Miller, a couple of jersey jabs, a couple of lefts. Big overhand right from Delorier. That miss. A right cross hit miss from Delorier. Miller with a right hand. They change hands. Miller with a left. Delorier with a right. Miller a left. Miller a left. Here we go. Delorier a left. And Miller pummels him to the deck. Listen to the garden.
Good fight last night.
Great fight.
A good hockey game. Tell you, I want to get pissed at the Bruins. I just don't. I don't have anything to get pissed about with the Bruins. I think they're playing to their level. I think their roster is good, not great. And they've pretty much gotten everything out of that roster they can get out of it. And last night's game could have gone either way. They're thin up front, so they have trouble scoring. Carey Price is on his game, so the only way you're going to score on him is if you put it in the mail slot in the upper corner of the net, which Marchand did once and Krejci did with under a minute left, and so that's how they got the tie.
There were two absolutely great shots.
Otherwise, you're not scoring on him on a night like that.
The Krejci one was unbelievable.
And Claude's packing it in, so you're not, you know, Claude's packing it in. Price is on his game. You got to put it in a mail shoot to score. They don't have any forward. You know, they don't have enough forwards, so what, you know, you're lucky to get two. I guess my one beef would be, you know, way, way, way too soft to start that 3-on-3. Way too soft. Like, wake up! Wake up! They just, you know, I can't remember who the shooter was, but they just let the shooter go all the way in there, and then Petrie was uncovered next to the net, and it's like, but it was Bergeron and Marchand with McAvoy. Let me get on Bergeron and Marchand? I mean, I'd say, you know, be ready to go, guys. For that 3-on-3, but that's like my one big beef. Otherwise, pretty much every night they play hard. They get the most out of what they got, and they're in a playoff spot, and they're where they should be. Like, I don't have a huge beef with the way they play. I have a beef with the roster. It's not good enough. But in terms of what the players put out on the players and the coach puts out on the ice every night, it's good.
Yeah, and like the Celtics, you get effort. And on a night you mentioned, like, as good as Price was last night, that they even ended up with the point. I mean, they were dominant, the Bruins, I thought, in the third period. But other than that, Price was ridiculous. So that you got the point, it felt like a win.
I mean, it's a lot like the Washington game in some ways. Like,
yeah,
I felt
it was,
like,
right.
I felt like they controlled the game for the most part. Even the goals that Rask gave up. I mean, one was on a deflection that bounced off the ice, went through his legs. The other one was on the breakaway where the guy picked the corner on a backhand. And, you know, I suppose you can pick on the breakaway. But then the deflection, the guy picks it out of the air and bats it in backhanded. Like, so no huge...
Okay, how about covering him?
Okay, so but again, I'm talking about the goalie, right?
No, right. I can't even bitch about Rask. He had nothing to do with those three goals. Nothing.
I mean, so, and the Krejci goal, I'm sorry, the Krejci goal, when they scored that, I mean, they're going to win this game.
That was tremendous.
Ridiculous to shoot that through that crowd into that spot. Ridiculous. As good a shot as I've ever seen.
So, the Bruins just aren't good enough unless they swing a trade. I mean, they got to get through Tampa in their division. If they played Toronto or Montreal in the first round, it's a 7-game series. They're evenly matched for all different reasons. Montreal's, you know, talent-wise, is probably third of the three. But they got some young guys in there that have changed things around. That Max Domi kid, I think, is a real difference maker. And Claude's got him believing. And so it's not like the Bruins have so much talent that they could just show up and win that series. No, Montreal would take you 7. Toronto's taking you 7. And then you're going to get your ass handed to you by Tampa unless you make a deal. And so that's where they are. But in the meantime, I mean, really, I think they're getting the most out of what they got. You know, no other real complaints. I think a real good development is they've really developed a fourth line that is a factor with Corrali and Achari and the Wagner kid. Like, that's that a line has an identity. They bring it every night. They always get possession. Like, that's a real – that's become a factor.
Corrali's playing out of his mind.
And Backus frustrates me, but I almost feel bad getting on him because of everything that he's been through.
What's he going to do? He's a shell of himself.
I know.
So there's your Bruins minute. We got Celtics thoughts. We got Patriots thoughts. All of it. Right back to you, I promise. Here it is. Mike and Revere, thanks for holding on. What do you got on the Patriots?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Hold for a minute. I can't believe that after the career Josh Gordon has, if the Patriots can pull it off, that he will get a Super Bowl ring. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Yeah, it's just the way it works. Whether he deserves it or not, it's the way it works. We've got Chris in Hartford on the Celtics last night. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, when you talk about Kyrie, and he's talking about being a leader, remember, even to the best guy, best player in the world right now, LeBron, he didn't even tell him he was leaving. So then to leave in the middle of the night, not even say anything, it doesn't show any type of leadership at all. But the game last night, actually the Celtics went ahead the first half and into the early third quarter, played very, very well. They played great defense, and they only shot 32 in the first half. The problem was, in the probably about the five-minute mark in the third, Rozier got a really big dunk. He didn't get back on defense. And then a guy like Anjali, he's in the corner, doesn't get Tatum the ball because Tatum hasn't touched the ball for 2 minutes, and then Russell goes off and hits like 7 threes.
All right, Chris, so outside of the play-by-play, what's your point, quickly?
The point is this. Stevens knows what he has in Tatum. And you can see it in Orlando. He wanted Tatum to get that ball in the corner, and so did Hayward. So you have a problem where Tatum is exploding as a player.
Okay, you're just taking way too long. They're not getting him the ball? I mean, the group on the floor at the end of the game was telling last night. The one that made the comeback and nearly made it a game. They ran out of time. Wanamaker, Ubaselli, Tatum. I think Brown was out there. I can't tell you who the fifth was.
I checked out by then. I saw them down 92-66, and I said,
this
bye-bye.
That's why you got to get your two TVs, because it's just on. That's why I have these double-barreled action. It's just it's awesome. You got eye on both. I was, you know, whatever. So but I think it was telling. You know, no Marcus Morris, no Terry Rozier down the stretch. Unless I got that wrong. I'm pretty sure there was no – I think it was the French Panda and Wanamaker that was out there with Tatum. And Murray, and again, I know it aggravates you that Stevens is cheering on that group, and you know, gave him a lot of credit for their effort at the end of the game. Good job, good effort. I'm telling you, that's a shot at Rozier. It's a shot at the guys that weren't giving effort earlier in the game.
Okay, yeah, because it was the Celtics' actual Twitter account that put it up immediately after the game. When I saw that, it was just my immediate reaction was like, ugh, what is this Hickory High nonsense? But if it's an actual not so subtle shot, oh, okay, well, I mean,
when a coach calls timeout 29 seconds into the game, he's telling his team he hates them. That's what he's telling. I hate you right now.
Coming up next, what I have at stake this week with Patriots Chiefs. I have something pretty major at stake. I'll tell you exactly what that is. Also, one of my biggest questions with the Palace Q and Brady Belichick has apparently been answered.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
With this group, at this age, coming off of no work in the spring, then, you know...
Yeah, it could be his greatest accomplishment. I mean,
you will be allowed to put a ball gag in me, McCone. You can ball gag me and tie me up and put me in the corner and do whatever you want with me. Okay?
Hard
so
pass,
that
yeah.
If he drags this group to the Super Bowl, ball gag me and throw me in the corner. Maz was off, obviously, because yeah. you were in the Maz chair and McCone was in the update studio.
McBone.
So I basically said...
kind McCone.
Basically.
Who you assume is some kind of sadist.
Well, so I'm told you, I haven't believed in this team from the start, and so that's like back in the start. That was back in training camp. I said, if Brady takes his team to the Super Bowl, McBone there can ball gag me. Guess what came in the mail today for me, Murray?
Ball gag?
Get out of here.
From Amazon?
You can buy that kind of stuff on Amazon? Really?
Google?
Sure.
Mass
just like, oh, yeah. No, of course
no. There are different variations of it, so I had to Google Pulp Fiction ball gag. Because I think that's really, when I think ball gag.
Yeah, sure.
I think of Bruce Willis and,
Get the Gimp.
Yeah, that ball gag. So I was playing with it. It's a complicated apparatus. If you're listening on the radio, I have a ball gag in my hand.
Now that part goes over the back of your head.
With the full leather straps. Mass, so I know, well, it's hard to
know far too much about this.
Trust me, it was... I had a hard time with this morning. I spent a lot on this.
You got to loosen it.
Brady sucks. The things that suck are going to lose this week at Kansas City. Brady is in decline. So, I got it.
I got the ball gag. That's for...
Well, I got like a gag reflex even looking at that.
Where's McBone? Is he still in? Is he still in our orbit?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he was on with us on Saturday.
Oh, he's coming in Monday.
Okay, so I'm telling you, I'm a man of my word. If nothing else, I pay my debts, and I got it. It's not exact. So you can't get. I couldn't get the exact replica of the Pulp Fiction one for some reason. It does. It.
The movie's nearly 30 years old now. They've obviously made advancements in ball gag technology.
We get to put you in the corner, too, though, right?
Yeah. She's sure going to OTAs. She missed the offseason, and they're not going to win. The Chiefs are going to win this game. Brady sucks. Okay?
So, again.
How's it taste?
Like a big ball of rubber in your mouth. Okay? So, McBone. McBone better be ready, because I pay my debts. Naked in the corner with a ball gag. That's what's at stake for me.
Can we skip the naked part? Yeah, I don't need you tied up in rope with a ball gag.
Murray, I would have been sure you would have known how to use one of these.
No.
Don't give me that.
No, look.
You're into the naughty.
But it's everyone's got different degrees of wacky.
He didn't say no.
Don't tell me you haven't used a ball. You haven't pulled out.
No,
a ball
I've never used anything like that. But you can never underestimate the freakiness of another person. But one person scratching on the back and maybe slap across the face is another person's
ball gag.
I'm not a ball gag guy.
Okay.
Yeah, me neither.
Mess. Oh yeah, no, you can get them on Amazon. Hey, put it in your mouth. No, move it that way.
Seriously. Have you sampled the occasional ball gag?
No, in all honesty, no, but you can get anything on Amazon.
You really can.
Oh, yeah. No, you can get anything. Yeah. Yeah. That's a ball gag's not the only thing you try. Well, I'll tell you later.
So, I'll do the Brady Belichick thing in a second. But I haven't believed in the team from day one. Haven't. And they've done nothing to change my mind. Last week, you know, if I'm going to stick to my guns and be take committed. Last week rattles me a little bit.
Well, it should. I mean, it was that kind of performance.
Because they put it all together, and I didn't think that they would. And I really thought the opponent was legit, and they made him look like children. The Patriots just totally dismantled what I thought was a really good opponent. And then, again, while I find it whiny and bitchy and like, blech, but that whole whiny, you know, everyone thinks we suck, and everyone thinks we can win. You know, as lame as I think it is, it works for them, man. And when they get that sort of... When they get that thing going, like, oh, God.
Watch out.
Now they got this chip on their shoulder with these, you know, they're like they've joined the talk show, right? Like it's, oh, you think we can't do it? And like, oh, God. And so, like, I'm not going to – last week has got to open your eyes. I mean, I'm just being realistic. I'm being honest. But it doesn't change my mind. It doesn't change my mind. Pats are losing this week. And if not this week, next week. But either way – if they win in Kansas City, McBone's going to ball gag me. That's coming up. We'll put it on Facebook Live or something. It's going to happen.
I'll bring the rope.
Okay. Just real quick on that, I stand by what I said from that clip in August, and Beadle and I were arguing about it in the postgame because he thinks I'm nuts. If they win the Super Bowl, this group, Brady, this age, how he looked this year, Gronk, no longer Gronk, now Robert James Gronkowski, I think it's the greatest accomplishment of the Belichick-Brady era.
Second
best.
Behind 0-1.
Yeah, 0-1. Yeah, 0-1 will never be surpassed in my mind.
You can't. I mean... Yeah.
Think of the talent in that roster, though, defensively.
But it'll be, it's up there, no question about it.
I mean, you know, like the old adage is you root for the good story. The really good story here is they win and go to the Super Bowl because, to me, the odds were stacked against them.
Okay, one of my big questions with Brady and Belichick apparently has been answered. I'll get to that real quick, and then your phones, I promise. 90 seconds, no spots, just a quick update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.